Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. Thank you, Brother Fred and Sister Alicia, for another beautiful rendition of another one of my favorite songs, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Good to see each one of you in the service this evening. I enjoyed the day. We had a very good day. Enjoyed it during the lunch time and fellowship with Pastor and Sister Maureen. And you could just see the pain in her eyes. She did everything that she could to make her day as pleasant as possible with us. And we just felt and feel for her. But it was so good to see her on this trip and to spend a little time with her and Brother Glenn. And we enjoyed a good meal together. And I appreciate them so much. Also, I was talking with the two fellas here prior to the service, and Brother Dirk, they were really bragging on your teaching from the book of Genesis and what they have grasped from knowledge and that you have given from the Word of God. And we are so glad that you've got a good Bible study, a good Bible student, and a good Bible teacher. And the way I've always been impressed how you do it here at Independent Baptist Church during that Sunday school hour, where you alternate every quarter or so with these three men, and I know each one of them do a great job. And I want to say thank you, if I fail to do so tomorrow evening, to Brother Daniel. He's been faithful there. Miss Holly in the sound booth and going to work immediately following the service. He doesn't have time to stay around and fellowship any. And he got to work 5 minutes early last night. He had to be there at 8:30. I told him I was going to catch up from not preaching long the last three evenings, and we might get out by 9 o'clock tonight. He said, "Oh, please, preacher, I don't need to be late for work." So we're going to try to oblige and respect his time. I invite you tonight, if you have God's Word with you, and I'm sure that you do, if you'll turn with me in the Old Testament, speaking of the book of Genesis, we'll begin in chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18 with verse number 1. And as we read these eight verses, beginning in verse number 1, you will be very familiar with the story tonight that's before us, but I want to kind of pull something out that maybe you haven't thought about, and I know Brother Glenn has preached through the book of Genesis. I think it took a few years, didn't it, Pastor? And then Brother Dirk has been teaching now for several weeks, and they're still in chapter number 1. And so I don't have to worry about chapter 18. It'll be Jesus will be returned before y'all get there. But anyhow, so we'll look in chapter 18. You know, we enjoyed our flight. We appreciate the wonderful place of lodging this week. It's been a blessing to us. We're not as young as we used to be, and we just can't sleep comfortably on anything. We've tried. And every now and then we still have to try, but we've got wonderful accommodations and a good bed, and so I feel real relaxed each evening, and I praise the Lord for that. Our flight, we had no complications at all. Everything ran on schedule. I pray it will be that way Friday on our return back. Thinking about the flight, they say that a preacher's wife is always his number one assistant, and I agree with that. I tell this on Rita, met myself in a church service, and the music was off the chart. The call of the worship, it was just so inspiring, and the prayers just brought down heaven, and so it came my time after the wonderful special music to preach. And I finished the sermon. I went down and sat by Rita. And she said, "What did you think about the service?" I said exactly what I just shared. The music was great. Special music couldn't have been any better. The prayers of the men brought down heaven. And then I said, "But I just feel like I never got the sermon off the ground." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, you sure taxied a long time." So I'll try not taxi very long tonight, Brother Daniel. Genesis chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 18. "Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." Speaking of Abraham, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Now let me pause there just for a moment. I don't know where you stand or where your pastor stands on this. There are several schools of thought, but to be honest with you, and I could be corrected, but I personally believe in the Christophany of Christ, that he appeared in the Old Testament on several occasions. For the Bible says that man is not to worship angels. And I read where men of God fell at the Lord's feet in the Old Testament when it refers to the angel of the Lord and worshiped him. And so tonight I know that the Lord came to Abraham, and that is what we are attempting to read. In these verses, there's the manifestation of God when he appeared to Abraham there in the door of his tent. And there's a meal, we'll read, they had out under the tree. And there was a meeting between the Lord and Abraham and two angels that were with the Lord. And there was a message. And we'll not read about that message, but the message the Lord brought to Abraham and Sarah, that they would give birth to a child. And you know the story, Sarah overheard the conversation through the tent door and she laughed. And God said, "Is there anything too hard for God?" And they indeed had that promised child, Isaac. And so there was a tremendous message. And then a part of the message also, God said to those two that accompanied him as they were leaving, "I know this man, Abraham, and I don't think I should withhold from him what I am about to do." And you know what God was about to do, go into Sodom and Gomorrah and see for himself that which he knew. And Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And you know the conversation that Abraham had with God. "God, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And Abraham negotiated with the Lord down to 10 from 50. You know the story well. And so that is the message. But in the first 8 verses, verse number 2, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now that I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet, rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts, and after that ye shall pass on. For therefore you come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he, the young man, took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them. And he, the young man, stood by them under the tree and they did eat. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word again this evening. Lord, I ask you to speak to my heart and to the hearts of your people right here at Independent Baptist Church. And Lord, our hearts are heavy for those that could not be here tonight that we have mentioned for prayer. But Lord, you have here tonight those of us, and we know that this night was known of you, God, tonight, set aside for each one of us who are present. And Lord, you make no mistake. And Father, you have a word for each one, including myself. Father, may we have ears to hear and a heart to receive that word. Father, help me tonight as I preach as a dying man to a dying congregation. And I just want to praise you, Lord, that on my journey to heaven, you allowed me one more time to stop by this great people and great pastor to preach your great word. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's amazing to me that God came in an ordinary way to an ordinary man named Abraham. He came to him at his tent door. And as we think about these verses that we've read, I'm interested in verse number 7. I want to call your attention one more time to verse number 7. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, verse 8, and the calf which he had dressed, set it before them, before Abraham the Lord and the other two that accompanied the Lord. And he stood by them, this young man did, under the tree, and they did eat. I've always been interested in the A's and the these in the Bible, because there is a vast difference between the A's and the these. For instance, Jacob was dying, and he called all of his sons around his bedside, and he said to one of his sons, Judah, he said, you're going to be praiseworthy, and you're going to be affluent, and you're going to be prosperous until Shiloh comes. And Shiloh is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, you'll read where the Lamb of God, God said, or through Jacob to Judah, you are a lamb, but the Lamb is coming. In our text tonight, verse number 7, it's referenced a young man. Not the young man, but a young man. And I emphasize this because a means one of many. And so this was just one of many young men that Abraham called to dress the tender calf and prepare it as a meal for the honored guest who came Abraham's way. I'm interested in sharing a message tonight on this subject, a young man. And I want us to see in way of introduction tonight, first of all, his specifications, this young man. When I try to examine something significant about this young man, there's not anything in God's Word to be found. specifications. First of all, there's nothing notable about him. He's just a young man. There's certainly not anything noble about him. And certainly, he is not named. Nameable. We don't find his name anywhere in the Bible. And so, he's just a young man, specifications. And when I think about a young man, I think about not only his specifications here, but his limitations. He's young. Amen? Now, when you're young, you're limited in the opportunities you have in life. You really are. I'm not speaking about you. I'm certainly not addressing this to Daniel. He's young, the only one young among us. But generalizing, when you're young, let's face it, for the most time, in many areas of our life, we're just downright dumb. We're limited. Amen? We're not very smart. Let me illustrate. I was in a revival out of Kilgore, Texas, early on part of this year, and it was coming a flood rain. And I'm sitting in my automobile prior to the services, and some folks had drove in a little early, and the light was shining in the parking lot, and the rain lit up, and all of a sudden I saw this lad, he probably wasn't a teenager, he was a lad, somewhere between 6 and 11 years old. He came out of the church as if his parents had sent him out to their automobile to get something. And there was a big water puddle there in the asphalt parking lot. Do you think he went around it? He did walk up to it and stop, and he looked it over. But curiosity got the best of him. And yes, he just started jumping in it. And I thought, that's dumb. And then I reminded myself, I was young one time. And I'm sure this young lad was inexperienced with the effect that water has in a shoe. Amen? I remember being called to preach at the age of 14, going to seminary, the age of 19, 20, 21, 22, there in Shreveport, Louisiana, Louisiana Baptist College. Dr. Jimmy Tharp is the president, the pastor, founder of the church and college and university there. And we were close friends. He kind of took me under his wing. And there were several young preachers. And Dr. Tharp, he, in a Bible conference, he got up and he announced, he said, well, I'm going to have all my young preacher boys preach tomorrow in the morning session. And they'll get 10 minutes to preach a sermon. Well, we're nervous that evening. One of my buddies, Verl Gunner, he said, I'm not preaching. And I said, Brother Verl, how come you're not preaching? He said, 10 minutes? He said, I think of my preaching more than just 10 minutes. I thought to myself, well, I think more of my preaching than just 10 minutes. So the next morning, Dr. Tharp came around to some of us and said, Moss, he called me Mossback. Mossback, Gunner, y'all ready? Gunner said, I'm not preaching. I think more of my preaching than 10 minutes. Dr. Tharp looked at me and said, Mossback, are you ready? Well, I think more of my preaching than 10 minutes. I'm not preaching. Man, he lambasted us and jerked us up and said, what do you mean not think more about it? It's not about you, it's all about him. And then he said, Moss, You could preach everything you know in 5 minutes. Dumb when you're young. And so, this young man in our scripture, his specifications, he was a nobody. He wasn't named to us. He was certainly not notable or noble or no name. He was limited. He was young. Notice his specifications. Unimportant. Limitations. Young. But I want you to see with me, and this is where the message is going tonight, his association. He had someone with him. Who did he have with him? He had Abraham. He was associated with Abraham. You know, we would have never heard of this young man if he had not been associated with Abraham, the man of faith, the man of God. When they met there under the tree, notice this. The vision was not about this young man, but he got to see it. Amen? The visit was not to him, but he got to enjoy it. Whew. The vow was not for him, but he got to hear it. Why? Just because he was close to the man of God, he got to get involved in something that really wasn't his business. Are you with me tonight? I have folks, and maybe somebody's here this evening. They've come up to me over the years in church revivals and would say something like this, "Brother Moss, I want to get involved with the things of God. I want to do more. I want God to use me more than He's ever used me." Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked yourself that question? God, will you use me more than you've ever used me? I want to get involved. Well, I want to give you three things tonight to answer that question. Three things. If you're saying, I want to be used of God, and every one of us want to be effectively used of God, or you wouldn't be here this evening. You could have been resting in your recliner, or whatever you do, at 7:30 in the evening. But you want to be used of God. Three things very quickly, and I'm done tonight. Number one, if you want to be used of God, you must be able to take instruction. Take instruction. Apparently, Abraham had given this young man instruction on how to prepare and dress a calf. Would you agree? Or he would have never known how. Abraham fetched the calf and said to the young man, "You dress and prepare the calf for the meal." And so he, apparently it is to me that this young man knew how to follow instruction. Can I say this? You will never be able to faithfully serve God until you're willing to take instruction. To learn how to listen. To learn how to become obedient. Here it is. To learn how to serve under spiritual authority. Psalms 122 is one of my favorite psalms of degrees. There were 15 psalms of degrees. They begin in Psalms 120 and go through Psalms 134. Psalms 122 begins with a very familiar text that we all are acquainted with. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." He was glad. He wasn't sad and too discouraged. nor was he mad and disgruntled, nor had he been bad and was disgraced to go to God's house, nor had he been had. He was glad to go to church, if we want to put it in our vernacular. And he gave several reasons, verse by verse, why he was glad, and that word glad means delighted, to go to God's house. And one of those reasons that I want to call your attention to was found in Psalms 122, verse number 5. He said, I'm glad to go to church, for there are set thrones of judgment. Psalms 122, verse 5. He said, I look forward to going to the house of God for numerous reasons, but one reason is because there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. You know, our Bible tells us, Paul writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy, I believe it is, chapter 3, verse number 15, how we ought to behave in the house of God. And then he says, for the house of God is the pillar and ground of our truth. Why would the Holy Spirit inspire Paul to give us those words? Going to church is the pillar here and the ground of truth. Because it's in the house of God, under the Word of God, that we are given truth. And we're grounded. We're living in a society today where people will tell you more than not, don't tell me what's right and wrong, I'll make my own decision. That's right. But I'm here to let somebody know tonight, I want God to tell me what's right and what's wrong. Because there's so often times when I'm confused, when I have questions, when I'm going through some difficult days or situations in my life, and when I get to the house of God and the Holy Spirit works and the Word is preached, I become unconfused. Does that make sense? Somebody says, well, I don't want to be judged by the preacher or somebody down at the church. They're judgmental. Well, we're not judging anyone. We can't judge. Because God's standard, and here's what he says, Paul said, God will judge every man in Christ. The standard's in Christ. There are folks that I've talked to, and so have you, that will tell you, I'm not going down to that church because there's too many hypocrites down there. And I often say, if you're allowing a hypocrite to stand between you and God, the hypocrite's closer to the Lord than you are. But I want to come to God's house and be judged. Somebody says, well, I'm just as good as the preacher. I don't have to go to church. You may be as good as the preacher. You may be better than the preacher, but you're not going to be judged based upon the preacher or anyone else. You're going to be judged based upon Christ. He's the standard. Are you as good as Christ? I don't think so. And so, it says the house of David, thrones of the judgment of David. David messed up, didn't he? But I'm reminded of the Old Testament, the Bible says, where there is the wrath of God, there is mercy. Thank God, God showed mercy upon David's failures and follies, and David paid for it, the consequences of his sin, but he repented in Psalms 51. He was the missing king for a while. He had missed all of that fellowship and the joy of the Lord's salvation. But he was restored. And don't ever forget, even the sins that David committed, he came back to God and God said he was a man after my own heart. A verse of scripture my son used in a sermon. It's been several months ago. I was privileged to be there on that Sunday morning before revival started somewhere on Sunday evening. And it really spoke to my heart. Proverbs 12, verse number 1. And I want you to write that verse down. We're talking about if you want to be used of God, you're going to have to be willing to take instructions from the man of God and from the word of God who gives, the man of God who gives the word of God. Proverbs 12, verse number 1 says, whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Would you agree with that? Whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But listen to this last phrase. Here's what really got me. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. I would challenge you to go home and look up that word brutish. But before you do, I'll just let you know what it means. It means stupid. Now, I don't like to be so blunt, amen, but that's what it is. Whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is stupid. In verse number 6, it says to the young man, back in verse 6 of our text, he hastened, he ran, and he hastened. I like that. You see the progression? He hastened, he ran, and he hastened. Three times it's emphasized. What is it saying? To me, it's saying he caught the spirit that was behind the instruction. Now, I'm speaking to some Bible students tonight. He caught the spirit that was behind the instruction that was given to him when he received the instruction from Abraham, whom he associated with, the man of God, the man of faith. He ran. He caught the urgency, the spirit of it, and he ran and he obeyed and he served and he, without hesitation or reservation. What Abraham thought was important, this young man, he thought it was important also. Oh, if our people could just get catch the spirit that is behind the work of God. If we as God's people could just catch the spirit that's behind the work of God. So let me go on. So if you want to be used of God, you've got to be willing to take instruction. Your pastor studies and he prepares and he prays and he seeks the will of God for what to present from God's word and these other men of God as well. And we must receive the instruction. Now, don't put your eyes on the man delivering the sermon, because we'll fail you. We're sinners. Put your eyes on the word as it's being presented. I always pray, God, give me your thoughts in my mind and your words in my mouth. And so, number two, not only did he have instruction or could take instruction, he had initiative. He had initiative. Now, I read where Abraham gave him instruction on dressing the calf. But I don't read where Abraham told him to bring along some milk and butter. Right? He went above the instruction that he was given. He did more than what he was commanded to do. You know, as a child of God, coming to church, Hebrews 10 says, it's a command of God, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Studying our Bible is a command of God. Study that you'll be approved from God. And when we take instruction, but if we go to the next level, catch the spirit behind the instruction that's given to us, we'll find it a joy and an honor to serve the Lord with gladness with all of our heart. It's not a grudge or a dread or laborious or boring for me to serve the Lord. I love the Lord because He first loved me. Luke says it's more than just a matter of doing enough to get by, but serving God is going above and beyond. He showed the initiative. He took instruction. And number three, and I close. Now, he's young. Remember we talked about he's got limitations being young. But number three, he showed intelligence. You say, well, how do you read that? Well, verse number 8, he stood by under the tree while they did eat. Huh? Can you put that in your mental picture? He brings that prepared calf. Man, I bet it was good. I'm so thankful God's not a vegetarian. He fed them manna in the wilderness journey, but he also fed them quail. And so this young man comes, the Lord, those two that accompany the Lord, Abraham, the head of the house, they're under this tree, they're relaxing, they're engaged in the message the Lord has brought to deliver to Abraham. This young man walks up with the prepared, fatted, tender calf and milk and butter, and he serves it, and he stands out along the side. And he doesn't open his mouth. What's that a picture of? Read between the lines. Warren Wiersbe just passed away recently. A great Bible scholar. He's got a series of books that he titles the B series. B strong, B whatever, based upon the chapters in the New Testament. Warren Wiersbe says, for every preacher should have a vivid imagination. And I want you to let your imagination run right here. You see the picture. First of all, this young man didn't walk up there and ask, well, where is my seat? He didn't walk up there and say, hey, listen to me, this is what I think. But he just made his place there associated. And as I said at the outset of this sermon, the vision, the vow may not have been about him, but he got to enjoy it because he took instruction under spiritual authority. And he had the initiative to go the extra mile. Brought butter and milk along with that fatted calf. You think about what that young man got to witness that day. Only because of his association with Abraham, the man of God. And he was willing to take instruction. He had incentive. And he was very intelligent. He did not rebuke the man of God or try to take over the conversation. He was a willing, subservient to the man of God. We will grow when we're willing to listen and obey what God has for us. May God bless you tonight. Let us stand.